Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity today to share the words that are prepared for these people to transform, to inform, to bring realization of a life created, as we sang in our first song, that we are created to worship. That's why we were made. And we love you, and we return that praise and adoration to you right now. In the name of the risen Christ, we pray. Amen. Just to let you know, we will be sharing in time of communion later, after the message. Just so you don't get surprised by that, I just thought I'd let you know that. The message we're talking about, as Michael's already alluded to, we're talking to the fact of rest and Sabbath and how it's a gift from God. And the message writing team that I'm a part of every Monday had some really interesting stories about observing the Sabbath when they were children in really legalistic ways. One person brought up that kids could play outside but not cross the property line. Okay, another said that, and I don't understand this one, you could play catch, but you couldn't bat or run. Still another said they have a friend who doesn't think they should go on their Sunday walk because it is labor. So, again, these are, I'm puzzled by these. Mine stuck with me for years. It's not as amusing one as those. When I was in third grade, I remember my neighbor friend told me that because my family got the Sunday paper, we were going to hell. Ouch. That's not something a third grader needs to hear. And believe me, it was a conversation I had with Mom and Dad about, should we stop getting the paper? But let's continue our journey of explaining how we can worship the other 167, the hours of the week that aren't this hour that we're celebrating and we're spending together. Now, it's not my intent, and I was concerned sometimes by saying the other 167 that you're going to get a checklist of how you spend those hours. That's not the intent here. I don't want to outline exactly how you should spend your week. But I do want to encourage you to put some thought into how we can worship God in all that we do throughout the week. Okay? Now, we start by spending 1 hour launching into the week. We will talk through how we can worship God in the 60 minutes, but also in rest, serving, loving others, and you fill in the blank. So last week, we learned that worship is the reverent love and devotion accorded a deity, an idol, or a sacred object. Now, it seems our modern culture rewards those that work themselves to almost nothing, right? The more hours you work becomes a badge of honor placed on a chest that can barely catch its breath because no one else can do it better than I can, or if I don't do it, it's not going to get done. Or look at me, I did so much. Whee! Right? This 1 hour time together is such a small part of our week. It's a time to intentionally slow down to a different pace where we pray together, where we sing together, and where we absolutely, in this hour, concentrate on making God our first priority. It's a launching pad. We talked about shooting off a rocket last week, right? This is the launch pad. This is how we start our week. But really, it is 60 minutes. It's a small part of how we give God a place of importance or honor. Rest. Everybody take a deep breath right now. Any meditation you ever do, any prayer you ever do, it's always best to fill those lungs and empty those lungs because the Holy Spirit is what? Pneuma, breath, air. And it forces you to slow down. When you're doing that, you can't think of anything else. You're thinking of taking air in and letting air out. And I found that worship often happens best when I slow down or when I take a different pace. Rest. Seems like God gave some clear guidance on rest, right? He called it Sabbath. Understanding Sabbath, well, that's a challenge in our Western culture, isn't it? Our West Michigan culture. Sabbath has always seemed like another rule that I should follow. Don't mow your yard. Don't play in someone else's yard. Sabbath is defined as a time of rest. How can rest become such a powerful act of worship in the 168 hours we have each week? Now, let's talk about the idea of where the idea of Sabbath got its start and how we practice it today. Go back with me to the beginning, keep going, right, all the way to Genesis 1. I don't know. That's a church name, it sounds like, doesn't it? Genesis 1, in the beginning was, three letters, starts with G, in the beginning was God, thank you. Woo. Whoa, hey guys, if I ask you a question, it's usually going to be God, Jesus, or I don't know, there's a third choice. So anyway, in the beginning was God, and he created the light from dark on day one. It was good. He created the atmosphere and firmament on day two, and it was good. He created the sun, the moon, the stars, and it was good. On day five, he created the birds and the sea creatures, and it was good. On day six, he created the animals of the land and who? Humans. And it was good. Then we flip the page to chapter 2 of Genesis, and we read this. Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing, so on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done. God rested on the seventh day after working on his creation. Now, do you think the Creator, the all-powerful Creator of the universe, was tired? Do you think that's why he rested? Or could this be the first time we see a healthy rhythm of life modeled for us? Work hard, right? And find a time of rest. This is the first time that we see God say, I know when to say it's enough. And he rested. God modeled it. And then he gave us guidance in the 10 stone etched commandments. You find them recorded in Exodus. And among the 10 was, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. But the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it what? Holy. This is the fourth commandment, by the way. It seems to be before others like do not murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal. Does that mean it's more important? And it has more context around it too, doesn't it? We're called to remember the Sabbath. Why are we called to remember the Sabbath? Just because God said so? Well, maybe. I'm learning to trust God more, so I'm learning to trust his word more. I believe that this instance of telling us to remember the Sabbath was to remember what happened before that. Creation. I remember the Sabbath as I trust God says it's good. Look at the last part of what we just read. God created in 6 days and then rested. Remember the Sabbath. God created and knew when to say it was enough. God invites us into creating through inventions and procreation, to name a couple of ways we join the Creator. And we, being different than any other beast that God created, have the ability to say, it's enough. God modeled it, and we get to practice this rhythm. Rest to remember creation. Sometimes the Bible can be a little confusing to me. I feel like I read some of the same stuff over and over again. Is that because it's important to remember? I need to hear it over and over again to be reminded. Repetition. Kind of like the commandments that we've seen to be repeated again in the words of Deuteronomy. But in Deuteronomy, there is a slight difference in the delivery of the commandments. Time has passed, and there are some pretty big things that have happened to God's creation. The first time we were given the laws, it was to remember God the Creator. Now we find God's people being freed from Egyptian oppression. Moses leads them, with God's help, toward the promised land of freedom. And Moses again urges them to keep the Sabbath. Observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy as the Lord your God has commanded you. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it you shall not do any work, neither you nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigner residing in your towns, so that your male and the female servants may rest as you do. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. Therefore, the Lord God has commanded you to observe the Sabbath day. This is different than just remembering the Creator, isn't it? It says, remember that you were slaves. This is for us to remember salvation. Bottom line is that Sabbath helps us remember whose we are. Rest is a gift. If you talk to any practicing Jew, you'll quickly realize, that the Sabbath is not something they had to do. Shabbat is another word. Shabbat or Sabbath is something that they get to do. For years, their ancestors were slaves. They were forced to work hard with no time off. Now they cherish the time to remember the saving grace that God provided. And Shabbat is that time not only to remember creation, but to remember salvation. Rest is a gift. Maybe you're thinking, how can resting be God-honoring? Or show that I worship Him? I get that. You're not doing anything. But slowing to a different pace or doing something that you enjoy as opposed to the daily grind can show that you trust God knows what is best for me. Rest shows that I trust for God to provide, to protect, or even prove that I can get as much done as when I take time to rest. In fact, sometimes more. What if we had permission to embrace a rhythm of life that included rest? What if we knew when to say enough is enough and trust that it'll all be good? I believe that the purest form of worship to God is to show Him that I trust Him. My rhythm of rest tells God that I trust Him. Jesus walked this planet, and even though He was the most connected human to God the Father, Jesus modeled what? Rest. He would teach, He would heal, and then He would get away to rest. We see that several times. He was not legalistic about what could or could not be done. We didn't really hear what He did when He went away to rest, did we? He didn't have a checklist of these are the things you should pray, and these are the things you should think, and these are the things that, you know, this is the way you should sit, and this is the way, you know, he just went, He rested. He had the rhythm that showed that He trusted God, His Father. On one occasion, the rule-keeping religious Pharisees witnessed Jesus healing a man that was born blind. Guess what day it was? It was on the Sabbath. Uh-oh. What? And as the story goes, some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." That's how Pharisees talk, by the way. Just like, I feel that we've turned the Sabbath into a legalistic battle because it's the only way we can make sense of why and how to keep it holy. I think that's why all those silly things I talked to you about at the beginning of the message, I think that's why we would develop them. Because we have to figure out, well, if it's going to be holy, then we have to do, we can't do that. Put that lawnmower back, right? And I have to admit, I've become like the Pharisees at times. Jesus is used to this from the Pharisees. It wasn't the only time. And eventually, Jesus corrects them with some very clear and precise words. Jump to me with a story we find in Mark 2. Jesus and His followers were being criticized for picking wheat on the Sabbath. Now, making a meal was forbidden on the Sabbath. So the disciples would pick the wheat, rub it in their hands, and they'd blow away the chaff, and then they ate the grain. That was making a meal. So they said, "You're breaking the Sabbath laws." And, you know, legalism, I mean, that's legalism, right? Your desire to observe the law misses the freedom that God is offering us by taking rest. That's what Jesus is telling them. You're missing the freedom. God's giving it to you. And here's what He says to them. The Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. God's rules or laws were made for the benefit of healthy people, healthy relationships. They're a gift for us for healthy relationship with each other and with God. Somewhere along the way, we started to lose trust in a God that knows what's best for us. we feel like we're made to fit inside God's perfect molded rule book. And if we don't watch out, God will get you. God's rules are not restrictions as much as they are recipes for health. They're guardrails. God wants a beautiful relationship with Him. And the rules He gives us, they give us clues to how to have the best chance at healthy relationships. Sabbath was made for us to find rest in a world that rewards results. The faster you run after the world's shiny prizes, the further you'll climb up the ladder. The most important aspect of our worship to God is to shape a life that is healthy and free. Finding rest shows that if I trust God, He will be honored. He will feel that I am worshiping Him by doing that, and that God gives me rest as a gift, and that God renews us in our rest. Renewal. Do we trust that God will provide for us sufficiently when we enter into His rest and slow our pace of chase? Kind of takes me back to the trees we talked about at the beginning of the year. There's times I wonder why we ever took them down, because they're so applicable to every message that we give you. So we had the tree of independence, right? When we do things our way. Or we have the tree of partnership, where we do things in relationship with God. Independence says, I trust my ability to make things happen. I'll do it my way and take a day off when I feel I need it. Partnership says, I trust that God works things out so much better than I ever could imagine when I find a rhythm of resting in Him. This became an issue for me during COVID. I thought I was taking rest, but truly I thought I was so important that I had to take every phone call, every text, answer every email immediately. I quickly found myself trying to serve and care out of an empty tank. I had to reset. One thing I still do is take, again, as I said, Thursdays as my Sabbath rest. I intentionally limit my intake of electronics. My phone goes into a Sabbath mode. I'm not easily reached by phone, text, or email on Thursdays. And guess what? When everything goes back on, the world's still going, it turns out. The world is still moving. I learn to trust God in every time I do that, every day. I find myself even on Thursdays walking slower. Just intentionally walking, because I have nowhere to be quickly, right? And that gives me a time to pray and think. Again, I'm not giving you a checklist. I'm saying these are things that I found that remind me that this rest is a gift from God. It's not being lazy, it's being intentional. So rest, either doing very little or changing the pace of your days, can be a holy time. Let me be very clear. I will not give you a list of what you can and cannot do. I will never do that. If I do, then, I just won't. So I don't give you any bad examples of what you could do to me. But rest or Sabbath should be a longing. It may mean that you do something, but you do it different than other days. It may be on a Saturday. It may be that you take Sunday. I take Thursday as my Sabbath. It's not a reward for working 6 days. Rest sets you up to be part of God's rhythm for the other hours and days of the week. I choose Thursday because Friday I come into the office and Jamie's here and we talk and we laugh and we plan. And then Saturday I take time to prepare for the message for this morning. And then, like I say, I punch the clock here on Sunday mornings and work 1 hour a week. Yeah. Rest and Sabbath shows that we can trust God to provide, to protect, and to prepare. I've allowed productivity to provide my identity too many times. And my identity should never be in what I do. It should be in Jesus Christ alone. Can I trust that? For me, it's the rest sets me up for the work I'm about to do. In fact, I find it interesting that God created man on day 6. And don't miss the order of each day of creation. There was an evening, there was morning on the first day. Evening, the day started with the rest. The day started with rest. Your day today started. How many were asleep at midnight? Yeah. Okay, that day started with you resting. And if you waited up a little late, anyhow, it still started with rest. So man took the first day with God the Creator and rested before he began the work that God gave him to do. He was able to contribute from a position of rest. Find rest. What you do is less important than putting God on your mind while you do what you do, okay? We have talked about fasting before and have said that fasting without prayer is simply a diet. Rest without intentionality, remembering God, is just a day off. It doesn't require you to completely stop. I guess it may if you're stubborn as I am at times. It depends. It requires a different pace so that you can start off your day, your week, your month, or year, even your year, by putting God in a place of importance and honor. It helps me to work in a healthy rhythm so that this life, which is a marathon, by the way, not a sprint, right? It doesn't get the best of me. That's why we constantly encourage each and every person that calls this church home to find a healthy rhythm of serving, of resting, of encouraging one another, of building relationships. Find a rhythm of rest. When you are exhausted because you are always trying to measure up or keep up, you'll feel beat up. In fact, Jesus invites us to trust him in rest. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. When I am rested, I can see more clearly how God is pursuing me. When I slow down to rest in God, I find that I can trust God with all of me. It's not how hard I work, but it is all about how much I trust God, and I do his part as I do my part. And my rhythm of rest tells God that I trust him. And trusting God could be the purest form of worship. Rest shows that I trust who God says I am. The world may try to make it more important that I'm labeled as a good parent, good spouse, good papa. I may find my identity wrapped up in being called a good worker, a good boss, a good owner, a good student, but I trust God, my Father, that calls me his most prized creation. He calls me his child. There's an author named Peter Scazzaro who's quoted as saying this: slowing down isn't about personal self-care. It's not retreating from the world. It's about resisting the world's formation so we can join God in transforming it. That's pretty powerful. Peter Scazzaro. I rest to show God that I trust those words. The other stuff can fade, but his truth will never fade. God laid it all out for us, even to the point of offering his son to show us how much he loves us and just simply wants to be with us. And there's no better way to do that than as we come into this time of communion. He wants us to be with him. He wants us to remember him. Communion is not frenetic. Communion is meeting with each other and with God and with the Holy Spirit by remembering his son, Jesus. So I'll pray as we go into this time of communion, and we'll have the elements to the worship team first so that they can take the stage, and let's just remember why we're here today. Dear God, we do thank you for your gift of rest, and help us remember that there's no guilt attached to Sabbath. Sabbath is all about freedom. It's the opposite of guilt. We get to rest. We are allowed to rest. We are asked to rest and to keep it holy. Not just to shut down, but to engage with you. The rest is an active process of being with you, being next to you, being who you created us to be. What could be more important than that? So as we enter into this time of Holy Communion, when we remember that what your Son Jesus did for us, we thank you for this gift. Amen. I ask Mark to join me and have you come and take the elements as you are able. Give that to you, sir. There's a gluten-free option over here. Not something I ever did before the last couple of years, and I'm glad that we do that for those of you that are in need. Just as a reminder, on the Thursday night before his death, Jesus had a Passover meal with the disciples. That wasn't unusual. This was the customary thing to do. The unusual part was the words that he spoke to them that night. He said, when you eat this bread, I want you to take it and eat it and remember me by doing that. This is my body. And that's how you'll remember. And then in the same way, at the end of the meal, he took the cup and he said, this is my blood which is poured out for the salvation of you and the salvation of many. Every time you drink of it, remember me. God, we ask you to bless these elements so that they become as the body and blood of Jesus Christ for our salvation and for the salvation of many. Help us to be instruments of your peace, loving and being united with others, with you. Amen. Come as you are able. Well, as of right now, you are into your other 167. So you're welcome for that. You're welcome for the timing of that. Just ask that you go in peace this week, that you find that rest. Search for it. Talk about others with it. Pray about it. Read the words that we read today from Scripture, and I know that'll be encouraging to you. So again, I pray that you find peace and rest this week in your family life, in your work life, and in your relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? Amen. Go in peace.